Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Darcy Pancoli, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Evanston haunts, NU's ballroom Latin and swing team's masquerade ball, the Old Lady Project, and a special well-versed segment, Spirits of the Dead. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. Have you ever seen a ghost? This Hollow weekend might be your chance to visit one of Evanston's haunts. Supriya Akella has the story.
With Halloween just around the corner, now is as good a time as any to ask, is Evanston haunted? Evanston has centuries of history and plenty of eerie cemeteries in the area, the perfect conditions for a haunting. And the city has actually had some ghost sightings in the past. Supposedly, a ghost lives between the shores of Lake Michigan and Evanston's expansive Cavalry Cemetery. In 1943, a naval aviator crashed his plane into the lake and his body was never recovered. A 2007 Chicago Tribune article wrote that there have been hundreds of reported sightings of Seaweed Charlie since. If you happen to see him as you drive down Sheridan, he'll likely be in his flight suit, crawling across the road and in through the cemetery gates. Further north, a shipwreck from 1860 haunts the suburbs. According to the Winnetka Historical Society, the Lady Elgin was carrying passengers to Milwaukee when it collided with another boat, the Augusta. The Lady Elgin's side was pierced open and the boat sank within half an hour of the crash. Around 300 people died. Northwestern students even traveled north to Winnetka to help pull survivors from the water. This became one of the largest marine tragedies in history. The wreck inspired a song by Henry Clay Work, Lost on the Lady Elgin.
Lost on the Lady Elgin, sleeping to wake no more, numbered with those 300 who failed to reach the shore.
It also added to Evanston's collection of ghost stories. Over the years, several students reported seeing ghostly survivors asking them for help. But what do current students have to say about local haunts? First year Jack Cartel isn't sure.
I think that maybe they're real, but I don't know if I'm all that convinced.
He thinks Taco Bell may be haunted.
Because they're always taking so long to, like, make my tacos. So maybe there's something going on there.
Sophomore Weinberg student Ashley Ortiz is a little more sure.
I do believe in ghosts. I'm not sure if I've seen a ghost, but when I was about maybe 2 to 3 years old, my parents told me that I would stare at the ceiling and see red splotches and say it was a man in the ceiling, and that went on for a couple months. And then my mother got a priest to bless our house, and then I never saw the splotches again.
She's wary of one building in particular.
I would say that the most haunted place in Evanston is probably the Charles Dolls House. I went to visit it with a couple of my friends, and we had a small tour. And there were lots of historical paintings and artifacts that just screamed an otherworldly presence.
Weinberg freshman Maya Dev also believes in ghosts.
My mom and her family have a lot of, like, ghost stories from the house that they grew up in. And, like, just being in that house, like, I can feel how scary it is.
Daria Chernyshova, a freshman majoring in biology, doesn't.
Growing up, all the ghost stories that, like, my family ever told me were made up. I don't think ghosts actually exist. I think it's just people trying to scare their younger siblings.
So if you think you've seen a ghost, don't be too shocked. This Halloween, maybe you'll get a face-to-face introduction to some more of Evanston's haunts. For WNUR, I'm Supriya Kella.
What happens when you mix ballroom shoes, spooky season, and a touch of mystery? At Northwestern, that recipe creates one thing. Blast annual masquerade ball. I take us behind the mask to see what makes this dance floor feel like home. Blast. That's short for Northwestern's ballroom, Latin, and swing team. It's more than just spins and heels, though. They're a community that turns beginners into dancers, and dancers into family. For Brooke Nelson, Blast publicity chair, ballroom was a bucket list item.
I have been dancing since I was about 6, but I'd never done ballroom. And ballroom was always something I wanted the chance to do.
But she says what really keeps her coming back isn't just the choreography.
It's a good creative outlet, and it's also a good community. All the people who are in this club are super nice. They're some of my closest friends. I was just telling one of the girls that I talk to them more than I talk to my mom, which is probably not great, but it's what's happening right now. So it's just really nice people, and everyone's super supportive. So it's a nice community.
The group's competition coordinator, Tolu Ogubome, says joining BLAST has taken her past just the dance floor.
I could go anywhere and I can meet people who I don't know, and like we can dance together. And so it just kind of means being a part of like a global community, and also having something to do other than like going crazy with academics at Northwestern.
BLAST president Abby Migiani looks at dance as a whole new language, a conversation without words.
It's interesting because you're communicating in a way most people won't understand, because it's the like pressure points, it's the body of contact, it's all of these physical movements and cues that lead you into moves and kind of make partner dancing so rewarding.
For sophomore Sabrina Zhang, dance is more than just steps. It's healing, discovery, and expression.
I have been injured before, which has hindered me from dance, so I'm like ever so grateful to be able to like get back on the dance floor and dance like I have before. So it's something that I hold really close to my heart. I think dance will always be this language that I'm unable to adequately express with words, and it's how I meet new people and get to know the side of them that they don't usually, may not normally like express.
That spirit of inclusivity runs through everything BLAST does, from free makeup and costume support for performances to beginner lessons every Sunday at Chicago Ballet Arts, open to the entire Northwestern and Evanston community. For new members like Samantha Esquivel, the Masquerade Ball is less about perfecting a routine and more about finding connection.
As long as I meet one more person, one new person that could give me a new perspective, either about school or like dancing, that's a win, you know? I'm trying to put myself more out there while also having fun, and dancing is always fun.
If you miss the ball, don't worry. BLAST Dance Floor is always open. Lessons happen Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. at Chicago Ballet Arts. No partner, no experience, and no mask required. For WNUR News, I'm Dairshmi Bankole. This Evanston scriptwriting competition puts 50-plus-year-old woman in the spotlight. And no, not to play the old maid. Reporter Georgia Kerrigan talked to past winners ahead of this year's submission cycle.
When men in Hollywood hit 50 years old, they might earn the title Silver Fox for aging like fine wine. But when women in Hollywood reach the big 5-0, well, they're likely not in Hollywood anymore. Characters aged 50 and older make up less than a quarter of all television and film roles. And from that already small pool of 50-plus-year-old characters, only one in every four is a woman. That's all according to a study published in 2020 by the Gina Davis Institute, a nonprofit that analyzes media representation. And women characters over age 50 don't just get marginal screen time. Often, their story arcs, if they can even be considered arcs, are meaningless or stereotypical.
The mother-in-law that everybody hates, or the grandmother that's crazy, or, you know, the mother-in-law who's got dementia.
That was Angela Allen. She coordinates community-based arts programming for the city of Evanston. And she's witnessed these stats about media representation for older women firsthand.
And I've been hearing from colleagues that essentially they're being forced into retirement because there were no good roles for women. There are very few roles for women over 50.
And when roles were available?
A lot of times they're like, you know, 35 can play 50. Well, that's no fair. Get a 50-year-old.
So in 2022, she started the Old Lady Project, a competition that calls for scripts featuring nuanced female-identifying characters who are 50 years or older.
We look for characters that are fully fleshed out and who go through some kind of a change. I also tend to look for characters who are not just buffeted about by circumstance, that they have some agency.
In its first year, the Old Lady Project received over 600 script submissions from 33 countries. Scripts are judged by a panel of actors, producers, and theater lovers from all over the country. Then, the winning submissions are performed in a staged reading at the Noyes Cultural Arts Center in Evanston. Charles Hertz is one of the three winners from last year's competition. Like Alan, he's seen his talented women colleagues struggle to find authentic roles for their age. Hertz says he applauds the Old Lady Project for challenging writers to tell inclusive and representative stories.
Honestly, it's my honor to know and work with those people, and I do feel that I need to keep them, you know, in my thoughts whenever I'm writing.
Hertz's play features two co-workers whose decades-long friendship is suddenly challenged by retirement. According to Alan, scripts about female friendships are one of the most common and often the most compelling entries.
I'm a playwright who got started late-ish in life, and now I'm just trying to make the best of that I can with the time I have left to me.
That's Ellen Abrams, another one of last year's winners. Her play? A pantomime ping pong game between two senior center residents bonding over the afterlife and Frank Sinatra. Abrams has long noticed the lack of stories told by and about older women. So she tries to remedy the gap herself with complex characters that don't rely on typical old lady tropes.
Normal women, but older, but they still have lives. They still have valuable lives, and they're still amusing, and they can joke with one another, and they enjoy life, and they're still trying to live their lives for as long as they can with as good health as they possibly can.
Alan says this authentic portrayal of age is largely taboo, both on stage and on screen.
Well, you know, we live in a culture that denies that you're going to get old. What is a true representation of what it is to age? What are your concerns? What are the most important things to you? I mean, yeah, there's aspects that, yeah, when you get to be a certain age, your friends are dying. Like, that's not a story that's told.
But she says these stories need to be told because everyone deserves to see themselves equally represented in the media. Here's Hertz again.
It is just such older women who are incredibly significant to most of us. You know, so I think it's very important that such women get their due representation in the art that we create.
This year, the Old Lady Project will accept submissions from November 3rd to December 15th. In April, the winning scripts will be cast and performed. And finally, these characters won't be played by 30-year-olds.
And that's what you hope to find, like actors who get you and you who get them.
For WNUR News, I'm Georgia Kerrigan.
Halloween is right around the corner, and American author and poet Edgar Allan Poe is famous for his mastery over the horror genre and his ability to create a spooky and creepy atmosphere. Mongjen Markland brings us a poem written by Poe that will chill you to your bones.
Hi, have you taken a deep breath today? Welcome to Well-Versed, WNUR News' poetry segment, where you'll hear timely poem readings to help you relax, reflect, and reconnect. Halloween is right around the corner, which means that there has never been a better time to revisit poems that will put you in the festive, spooky mood. One author that always comes up during this time of year is Edgar Allan Poe. Born in 1809, Poe's work as an editor, poet, and critic had a profound impact on American and international literature. His stories mark him as one of the originators of both horror and detective fiction. Today, I would like to share one of his poems. This is Spirits of the Dead by Edgar Allan Poe. Thy soul shall find itself alone, mid dark thoughts of the gray tombstone, not one of all the crowd to pry into thine hour of secrecy. Be silent in thy solitude, which is not in loneliness, for then the spirits of the dead who stood in life before thee are again in death around thee, and their will shall then o'ershare thee. Be still. The night, though clear, shall frown, and the stars shall not look down from their high thrones in the heaven, with light like hope to mortals given, but the red orbs without beam to thy weariness shall seem as a burning and a fever which would cling to thee forever, but 'twill leave thee as each star with the dewdrop flies afar. Now are thoughts thou canst not banish, now are visions ne'er to vanish, no more like dewdrop from the grass, from thy spirit shall they pass. The breeze, the breath of God, is still, and the mist upon the hill, shadowy, shadowy yet unbroken, is a symbol and a token. How it hangs upon the trees, a mystery of mysteries. Thank you for listening to Well-Versed. I hope you enjoyed listening to Poe's masterful crafting of atmosphere, mystery, and intrigue. For WNUR News, I'm Mengjian Markland.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Tomorrow's high will be 54 degrees with a low of 44 degrees. For Halloween on Friday, there will be a high of 54 degrees and a low of 42 degrees. And Saturday will have a high of 50 degrees with a low of 41 degrees and a 35% chance of rain. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation. Local business owners in Evanston are adapting their sourcing and pricing strategies after federal tariffs began to impact materials and goods for artisan stores. Meanwhile, the Evanston Skokie School District 65 Board is reconsidering two school closures after pushback from the community. In Chicagoland, an appeals court just stepped in to block a federal order requiring a senior Border Patrol official to provide daily briefings on immigration sweeps. Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court has asked for further briefing before ruling on the legality of deploying the National Guard to the Chicago area, delaying any immediate decision. At the national level, the Supreme Court is now debating the meaning of, quote, regular forces, end quote, under a federal statute after the administration's move to deploy the Guard raised significant legal questions. Also, data shows that within the interior immigration enforcement push, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents have now made more arrests in the Chicago area than U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials, a shift that highlights the changing role of Border Patrol. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, wnurnews.org. That's wnurnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, and our reporters are Supriya Akella, Darsimi Bankole, Georgia Kerrigan, and Mongjian Markland. I'm Darsimi Bankole. Catch our next newscast Friday, October 31st. Now, back to scheduled programming.